This morning I want to talk about the glory of God. You know, that's a hard subject. That's something that we say, God has glory. But what do we mean by the glory of God? I mean, it's a nice scriptural word. It's a nice biblical word, but what does it mean? If you look up the definition in a Bible dictionary, it says something like this. It may be defined as the visible manifestation of his attributes, his character, his perfection. It didn't start, did it? Okay. Well, we'll wait just a moment here. In other words, the glory of God, you might say, is what we can see of God. How we would describe him and his actions to others. We would say God is glorious. But what does that mean? How can a spiritual being like God allow us to describe him? Now, the word that's translated glory in the scriptures literally means to be heavy and carries the idea of being awesome. So our God is awesome. How do we describe an awesome God? How does he show us how awesome he is? So God's glory, one might say, is the sum of his nature, his awesome splendor and power, and is seen in all that he is and does. Now, to help us understand this, what we mean by God's glory, we want to look at three requests that Moses made of God as he leads the people to the promised land, as recorded in Exodus 33, verses 13 through 23. Moses is leading the people in, and he's talking to God before they, as they're on their way, and he says, here's some things I need, God. He says in verse 13, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. You see, if we want to know God, we need to understand the way he works, the way he looks at things, his will for us. That's why Moses says, teach me your ways, Lord. Teach me what I should do. Teach me what you expect of us. That means we need to know what the scriptures say about God. That's where we're going to find out. We need to understand his glory. We need to understand his awesomeness. So when Moses asked God that, says, teach me your ways. Continue with us. God says in verse 14, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. God tells Moses, I'll help you know what I'm like. You want to know what I'm like? Fine, I'll help you know. And I'll help you understand what I want you to do and what I want you to be. I will guide you. And you see, God does the same thing for us. When we want to know God, when we become a Christian, he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us understand what God is like, to help us understand God's glory. And then a second request. Then Moses said to him in verse 15, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How can anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? In other words, Moses says, the only thing that sets us apart from everybody else on the earth is your awesome presence, the fact that you're with us, Lord, your glory. We need you with us every day. And that's the same thing that sets us apart as Christians. What makes us different from everybody else on the earth? The fact that we have God with us every day, that he lives in us, that he guides us and helps us. So when Moses said, if you don't go with us, don't send us up, because that's all we got is you with us, how does God answer him? He says in verse 17, I will do the very thing you've asked. You want me to be with you? I'll be with you because I'm pleased with you and know you by name. God says, you want me to go with you? I'll go with you. And he tells us the same thing. If you want me with you, I'll be with you. I will guide you. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. And then a third request. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Well, the other two, you know, that's one thing. But now he says, God, show me exactly who you are. Just show me who you are, Lord. Show me what you're like. Show me how awesome you are. I want to know everything about you. Wow. That's quite a request, Moses. Well, what does God say? God says in verse 19, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I have compassion on whom I have compassion. In other words, God says, okay, you want to see everything about me? Okay. But you can't grasp it all as a human being. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to be able to see everything about me, Moses. In fact, there's one more thing you need to understand, Moses, if you want to know all about me. Verse 20, but he said, you cannot see my face and live, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. God says, I'm so awesome that a human being can't even see me. If you see God, you're going to die. When Moses saw God's face, or he didn't see God's face, he saw God's back. When Moses saw God's back, you know what happened? If we continue to read in Exodus, we find that God is so awesome that a human being can't see his face and live. After he allowed Moses to simply see his back, Moses' face was glowing so much that when he came down the mountain, the people were afraid of him. Wow. All he did was see God's back. And his face starts glowing. And everybody's afraid of him. God is awesome. He's glorious by nature. It's a defining characteristic of our God. That's the effect that he has on people. Now, we as people try to make ourselves glorious. We try to make ourselves awesome. The Bible says that a woman's hair is her glory. But to make it look glorious takes a lot of work. Some people buy fancy clothes or cars in an attempt to look awesome in the eyes of their fellow man. But God's glory, his awesomeness, is unique. He's not like us. And he's not going to share it with anyone, and we can't compare him with anyone. As the scripture says in Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. There's no one like our God. There's no comparison to him. So how do we describe God's glory? How is he going to show it to us? God, who is a spirit, how can he show us as human beings who he is? Something that we can understand. Well, all throughout history, God has made himself known by what he does. The Jews called it the Shekinah glory of God. The meaning of the term Shekinah is to dwell with or to reside with. And the idea is, God is living with man in a way that men can see his awesomeness. God comes to us in a way that we can understand him, that we can at least see something about him. See how awesome he is. The scriptures tell us that God is light and radiates unapproachable light. It often shows his awesome glory to men in that way. You remember how he showed himself to Moses? How did Moses first get in contact with God? The burning bush. Burning bush of light. He sees a bush that's burning and he goes over and says, that bush is burning, but it's not burning up. What's going on? And he goes over and God speaks to him out of the light, out of the fire. God is light. And so he often uses light in a way to show us his glory, something that we can understand. We can understand something like that. That shows us. That's awesome, man. I'm impressed by that. 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. God lives in unapproachable light. Notice how it's described in Ezekiel 1, verse 28. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a sunny day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. It's like a rainbow, like a glow around him. It's light, it's glorious light. In Luke 2 and verse 9, the women are at the tomb looking for Jesus and they don't find him, but they find some angels. And we read in Luke 2:9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. What was it that shone around them? Light. The angels were glowing. The whole tomb lit up. And they were terrified because God was showing his glory. How can he show us his glory? By light. The whole area was filled with the light of the glory of God. And we read in Revelation 21, verse 23, the city does not need, speaking about heaven, the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light and the lamp is its light. You see, God's glory is beyond the light of the sun or the moon. It's greater than any light we've ever seen. Remember the first thing that God made in creation? Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." Why did he choose light? Because he's trying to communicate to us, this is what I'm like. This is my awesomeness. This is my glory. And so he takes part of his glory and he puts it into creation. First thing he does is take his glory and makes his creation glorious. How does it show up to us? Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. What do we see when we look up? Light. The glory of God showing us his awesomeness, his power. No, God showed his glory to Israel at the tabernacle. We read in Exodus 40, verse 34, the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The tabernacle was glowing. They couldn't even go in it because it was so bright. God was showing his glory, his awesomeness. And the same thing happened with the temple. In 1 Kings 8, verse 10, when the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The temple was glowing. When God comes into a place, it glows. His glory is there. Now we see the glory of God revealed in his son, Jesus. Jesus is now God's glory. It was revealed in human flesh to us. The disciples saw it at the transfiguration. Matthew 17, verses 1 and 2. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. And what happened? How did his glory show up? His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. God is light. God, who is the Spirit, shows his glory to us in this way, a way that we can understand, a way that we can see it. And now as the church, we are to reflect that glory. Ephesians 3, verse 21, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is worked within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. We as the church need to reflect the glory of God. Now, we're not going to glow like Moses. Boy, it'd be great if we could. People know that God is being reflected through us. But how do we demonstrate the glory of God? Well, we do it by giving him praise and recognition for the awesome things that he does. People sometimes say, why am I here? I don't understand why I'm put on this earth. The simple answer is to show God's glory. To demonstrate how awesome he is by our lives, to show the difference that he makes in us. And that requires a response from us. So how do we respond to an awesome God? How do we show his glory to others? Look what the psalmist says, Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations. We declare the awesomeness of God when we sing praises to him. That's why we sing when we worship. We sing songs because we're praising the glory of God. We're giving him glory. We're pointing out, look at the awesome things that he does. Look at how great he is. Look at how far above us he is. Look at the power that he has. Singing to him and praising him to others gives him glory. And in verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. We show God's awesomeness to others when we give him credit for the things that happen in our lives. When we say, that was a blessing. You know what happened to me today? I was so blessed. Instead of saying, boy, I was lucky today. God doesn't get any credit for luck. God gets credit when we acknowledge him by his blessings. And it says that gives God the glory. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Give him credit for what he does. Give him credit for his care over us. And verse 11, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that's in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy, let all creation rejoice before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth, or judge the earth in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. You see, even all nature gives glory to God. Just look around us and you can see God's glory and what's happening around us in the nature, in the natural things around us. You know, cows moo, in case you hadn't noticed. Dogs bark. Lions roar. Why do they do those things? Because that's what God designed them to do. They're giving glory to God because that's what he made them to do. That's their purpose. And we give glory to God by living and worshiping him the way that he wants us to. If we're living the kind of life he wants us to live, then we're giving glory to God. We're doing what he wants us to do. That's what we need to do. You see, Psalm 113, verse 3 and 4, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. This tells us that we're to praise God when we get up in the morning, praise him all during the day, and praise him at the end of the day when the sun sets. Give God glory all through the day. It's not just a worship service that gives God glory and praise. Yes, he should be getting glory and praise now as we worship him, but he receives glory and praise by just the way we live every day, by the things that we do and say. And in John 15, verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, Jesus said, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If we do what God designed us to do, if we bear fruit, if we live the way that he tells us to live, we're showing his glory, his awesomeness, because it shows that he can change our lives. He can make a difference to others. That's showing God's glory. And Matthew 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Doing good things for others give God's glory. Because they say, why'd you do that? Well, because God did things for me. So I'm just passing it on. I'm just sharing what God has done for me. I'm just sharing what he's given me. You see, when we do for others, we give God glory. They recognize his power, his awesomeness. And living a pure moral life gives God glory. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? You're not your own. You bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Give him glory by the way that you live. You know, sometimes even admitting that we mess up gives God glory. That's scriptural. In Joshua 7, verse 19, Achan sinned by violating God's command. Look at what he's told. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to God, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you've done. Do not hide it from me. If you admit that you mess up, if you admit that you need God's forgiveness and his help, it gives God glory because you're showing how awesome he is. That he can forgive, that he can make things right. And in Romans 4, verse 19, we can be like Abraham also, If we trust in God when things around you say, that's impossible. Romans 4, verse 19, without weakening him in the face, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead since he was 100 years old. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. Abraham's 100, Sarah's 90. And God says, you're going to have a child? Most people say, yeah, right. But Abraham believed him. Abraham trusted him. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. He said, God, you're awesome. I know you can do it. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. You see, when we understand that God can do things we even think are impossible, that can't happen. Sure it can. God's the one who's in charge, not us. Jesus said in John 17, verse 4, that doing God's will brings glory to him. Jesus said, I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And acknowledging Jesus as Lord, acknowledging that he is the Son of God, brings glory to God. Philippians 2, verse 1, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Confessing that Jesus is Lord gives God glory. God, you're awesome for sending your Son to pay the price so that we can be forgiven. And in Romans 15, verses 5 and 6, we find that being united in spirit with other Christians brings glory to God. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we all have one mind, when we all work together, when we all have the same purpose, it gives glory to God. You see, when we give glory to God, he's going to transform us. He's going to change us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. God does the changing, not us. We say, I can't change. You know, I know me and that's the way I always am. You're not doing the one doing the changing. God is the one who has the awesomeness to change it. He's the one who can make things different. Let him supply the power. Let him transform you by his glory. Do you remember glow-in-the-dark stickers? We used to have those things up on the ceiling and the walls of the kids' room. You turn the light on and they'd absorb the light during the day, and then we turn them off, they'd glow at night for a while and then they'd die off. If you want to keep them glowing, you have to keep the light on them. You have to keep them exposed to the light. And the same with us. Our source of glowing, our source of glory comes from Jesus. And so if we want to keep glowing, we need to be continually following him. We need to be constantly exposed to Jesus. When David made God the priority in his life, he exposed himself to the light of God's glory. And it changed him. He said, I have set the Lord always before me, Psalm 16, 8 and 9, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will rest secure. When we let God's glory change us, when we let God work in us, it's going to make a difference in our life. It's going to change us too. And 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Glorify God in everything you do. And it's going to make a difference in your life. You see, when you're a Christian and you have to fight life's battles, you have God's help with you. You have the name of Jesus you can call on. You have the power of Jesus to help you. But until then, until you become a Christian, sin has separated you from God and you're on your own to struggle with the devil. So, are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the scriptural plan of salvation? Until you do, you really don't have any help against the devil. You're on your own. We're told in 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Well, who's the one who is in us? Jesus Christ is in us. How do we get Jesus in us? Well, we become God's child and we reflect his glory when we obey his word. And what does the word tell us we need to do? Well, the word tells us we must hear, we must believe, we must repent of our sins, confess our faith, be baptized, As Galatians 3:27 tells us, all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. That's how we get the one in us who's greater than the world, by being baptized, by clothing ourselves with Christ. And so as Acts 22:16 asks, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Won't you come this morning to our awesome God and find forgiveness as we stand together and sing our invitation song?
Bring Christ joy.